Welcome to episode number 7 of Soccer.
Duh.
The Horn's unofficial, yet so official, soccer podcast with Bucky Godbolt and Brad Kellner. Appreciate all of y'all tuning in. And Buck, it's home match week. Finally, after 8 games on the road, Austin FC is returning home. And this Saturday, they will open up Q2 Stadium. Austin FC taking on San Jose Saturday at 8 o'clock. The city is pumped. Central Texas is pumped. I'm sure the players and coaches are pumped to be home. It should be a tremendous scene this Saturday at Q2.
Well, you know, when you come off the road and you've been on the road, whether you're a salesman or you're an athlete, it's nice to get in your own bed. Even though a bunch of these dudes haven't been here all that long, there's a familiarity with being in the city of Austin, and now they get a chance, BK, to come back home, come back to a crowd that's going to be absolutely – I guess it will be the largest crowd that they have been in front of. On the road for 8 games, this still will be the largest crowd that they've seen. And it will be the most excited crowd that they've ever witnessed, too. And what a welcome and what a rousing welcome they're going to get when they come here on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Cannot wait for that. So we'll preview that match against San Jose. We'll also recap the most recent match for Austin FC against Sporting KC. Austin FC earning a point, a hard-earned point, up at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City over the weekend. And we'll also talk about the state of soccer
sure. As
a whole with the Euros going on right now. I know Buck has been watching a lot of that tournament. I've been watching some as well. So we'll kind of give our thoughts about what's going on overseas and also compare it to what's happening in Major League Soccer. But we should mention, Buck, our podcast is brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. It's also brought to you by 34 Wine and Spirits, also Green Mountain Flower Company, and Brown Eye Clothing as well.
Absolutely, BK. I want to thank you to those sponsors that have been hanging in there with us. And it really is appreciated. And to all the folks that, when I get back and we do our shows during the course of the week, I could see on the Specs text line, it says, hey, where's Soccer Duh? When are you guys doing Soccer Duh? This is the only thing that's going on in this city, podcasting about this soccer team. And as you and I get to learn this soccer team and learn a little bit more each and every episode about soccer, there are folks that have been asking, where have we been? And we're right here, and I love doing it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded an episode. Dealt with a death in the family a couple of weeks ago, which caused me to be out of town for a full week. And then, well, Austin FC had a bye week.
Yeah.
So there was no match to talk about. So
right.
It has been a while since we've recorded, but we're happy to be back. And, yeah, we're going to get this back to a weekly bit here on this podcast, and we appreciate the continued love and support. So, Buck, let's start with what took place this past weekend in Kansas City. Austin FC earning a point, a 1-1 draw at Sporting KC. The Oaks struck first in the 26th minute. Cecilio Dominguez, nice to see your number 10 making it happen. He was playing the number 9 position, your striker position this weekend, and he delivered with a nice goal in the 26th minute, a beautiful shot in the left corner. But after that, a lot of chances for Austin FC, Buck. The number of scoring chances, the number of high-quality scoring chances for this club definitely increased, and that was great to see because for a while, not only have we not been seeing goals for this team, but we haven't been seeing a lot of good chances. They had a number of chances after Dominguez's goal, but they weren't able to cash in.
Yeah, I think Pochettino was on the assist on that, and it's good to see him come alive. I think you and I are starting to understand some of these players like Gallagher, Danny Pereira, Fagundes, guys like that. We're starting to understand what their roles are. I think my most consistent player throughout this long road trip, has been Stroud. I think he's been the most consistent player out of all of them, week in, week out. He's not a big time scorer, but the fundamentals of the game, you can see it in him, and he's still doing a good job in game 8. The one guy that I'm still thinking it is more of an enigma, and I'm waiting for him. And maybe this home stand, and when he comes home to play, will be different. It's Pochettino. What is he? I don't quite know what he is yet, and I think we'll start to understand. Maybe he will become that kind of scorer. Maybe he'll become that kind of attacker that FC Austin is going to have to rely on to score goals. They can't score one goal and have these 1-1 draw games and 0-0 games. They need to get in the twos and the threes. And Pochettino is the guy who's supposed to be that guy to get it done. And maybe this home stand will bring him to life. Because out of all of these players, as we look, Danny Pereira, and he gets a little bit better, Dominguez, we know he is the scorer. We know that if it's off of his foot and he doesn't have a lot of time to think about it and he just shoots, he's going to be okay. And Josh Wolf is finding ways to move Dominguez around a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Pochettino is the guy, I just don't know. Who is he? What is it that he does?
Yeah, I want from him. Absolutely.
Right.
One of the two designated players on this club. You'd like a little bit more production from Tomas
Pochettino,
a little bit more consistency as well, and we just haven't seen it from him in the early going. That goal from Cecilio Dominguez, by the way, Buck, the first goal for Austin FC since May 9th.
It's been a while.
Austin FC has been a while. I mean, their last goal before this past weekend was the previous game against Sporting KC. It had been three-plus matches without a goal for the Oaks, and they were able to score one. Once again, they had a number of high-quality chances throughout the rest of the match. Rodney Redes had the best one. He missed a wide-open net. I mean, that thing was yawning, and Redes couldn't capitalize. And that's just has kind of been a theme of the year for Austin FC.
Yeah, it's kind of
played eight matches. They've got six goals, Buck.
Right, and I think the home crowd will spur them on a little bit to be a little more on the attack now. I think this defensive style and playing from the back end is going to change a little bit when they get home. I think Josh Wolf will let them go loose. It's almost like, what do you have to lose? There's no reason to be uptight about being 2-4-2. You've got to let it go. You've got to come home. You've got to show the fans of Austin that you're a team that's going to be on the attack. Love the blue-collar working habit that they have. They don't quit. They continue to fight on. But you have to have some scoring. You have to have some take some chances. But what's scary about this team, when they do take chances, they leave gaps in their defense, and they're a one pass and done, and they're all of a sudden the ball's in the net. And Stuver, as many attempts as you thought Austin FC had last week, if Stover's not there, the other team – KC scores four goals.
Man of the match without question.
You know?
He's been the man of the year so far for Austin FC. A career-high 9 saves.
How about
for
that?
Brad Stuver. This was a fun game to watch, Buck.
Certainly was.
I mean, if you just look at the scoreboard, you see 1-1, you're thinking, all right, there probably wasn't a lot there. Both teams had some tremendous opportunities to increase their score totals. And thanks to the goalkeeper, especially Brad Stuver, this thing stayed 1-1. This was a high-energy game. There were a lot of defensive breakdowns, which I'm sure the coaches don't love, but
absolutely,
that leads to those high-quality scoring chances. And, yeah, thankfully Brad Stuver was there on the back end for Austin FC. He was tremendous. And it was similar. You know, both games against Sporting KC at Children's Mercy followed a relatively similar script. The game back on May 9th, Austin FC was up 1-0, and then Alex Ring picked up his second yellow.
Right.
Got a red card, was ejected for the rest of the game, and Austin FC played a man down. They ultimately give up two late goals and lose that one to Sporting KC. Well, Cecilio Dominguez got hurt in this one. So Austin FC wasn't down a man, but that created a substitution.
Sure.
And Josh Wolf had to change up his structure and the way he wanted to go about the game, because Dominguez has been this team's best scorer. He's got a team-high 3 goals this year, and he created some good chances. So
every time there's a substitution, there seems to be a goal within the first 5 minutes of the substitution. And that's when I get into a panic. When Josh starts to change guys, and I'm thinking, can you wait another 3 or 4 minutes? Can you wait this out? Because it seems like it happens within 5 minutes of the substitution change, and it's a quick one.
And he didn't have much of a choice with Dominguez getting hurt, right? So that
just
changed up the structure for Josh Wolf. And, man, the final 20 minutes of the game, Kansas City was peppering.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Stuver.
Yes, they were.
I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous.
He makes himself big. He's a tall guy, but he makes himself wide.
Yeah.
You know, he takes on shots head on. He doesn't shy away from the hit from the ball. He's not afraid of the ball hitting him. Obviously, he's been in soccer all his life. But he seems to widen himself out, and he makes a lot of great stops. One of the things I noticed in that game was the fact that I thought Josh did a fantastic job, and this young man did a good job, too, is for Gundes. He played defense in this game. He's a little guy to be playing defense.
He does a little bit of everything, doesn't he?
He does, and he made some great tackles to prevent more opportunities by SC KC the other night.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, if he wasn't there to make some slide tackles, there may have been even more goals scored. And he's not that big in stature. You know, he's a little guy trying to – and he played defense, and he played it tough. And I thought he would wear out, and he kind of hung in there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him more still – as the offensive guy and not as the defensive guy. He'll wear out on the defensive end. I think we saw that on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Solid midfielder.
Yes.
Who has shown the ability to contribute both
ways. But he's
ways,
a big contributor.
Both attacking and defending as well. And yeah, you know, despite the last 20 minutes being spent almost exclusively in Austin FC's defensive end, man, the Oaks had some chances. We talked about Rodney Redes. How about Manny Perez, too? Another one of those subs off the bench for Austin. They both had great chances, but errant shots. So it was a hard-earned point for Austin FC. It could have gone either way, right? You feel like Austin FC could have ended up with three or four. You feel like Sporting KC could have ended up with three or four. Just the Brad Stuver story continues to amaze me.
I know
we talk about him every week, but we have to. And it bears repeating that this guy wasn't named the starter until the week of the season opener against LAFC. And he's not even the highest paid goalkeeper on the team. It's amazing. And he's eliminated any concern about any goalkeeper controversy,
right?
I mean,
sure.
He has this job solidified. He has been fantastic. Austin FC 2-4-2, not the greatest start in the world, but the only reason they're there, Buck, is because of their goalkeeper.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You know, you and I had talked leading up until when they get ready to play this week. And in my mind, I thought if they could get three wins, I was looking for three. And the third one was this week, and I was hoping that they got the third, you know, got that third win. But two wins, you know what I'm saying, four losses, two draws. The two draws are to two really good teams.
Yeah.
They're not to scrub teams.
No, the two best teams in the MLS right now.
Yes.
So you take those 2 points, right? You'd love to win one of those games, but to draw Seattle and to draw KC on the road, that's huge.
Yeah, and I think this team will let it loose a little bit this weekend. I think this will be – I think for the fans alone, you're going to have to take chances. I think Josh Wolf is not going to sit back and have his team try to play a defensive game. I can't see that in your home opener. If you want to impress the people of Austin, Texas, and Central Texas in your opener, you can't play defense. You have to go attack. Your guys have got to be on the attack. Then you got to try to score at least two goals in this game,
hopefully in the
opener.
Hopefully the home field advantage can make that happen.
20,000?
For this club.
How about that?
It's going to be electric this Saturday night. Cannot wait. Here's some audio. Here's Brad Stuver after the match talking about his tremendous performance in net.
Yeah, I think in the second half we took more of a defensive posture, whether it was the Heat or whether it was Kansas City switching up. First half they were really attacking our right side. Second half they really wanted to go at our left side. And we had a little bit of trouble there in the first 10 minutes, so we went a little bit more defensive. Just for us, when we were in possession, I think we just needed to keep it longer. I think we did the defensive work, but then we didn't let ourselves rest. Like, we want to rest when we're on the ball. We want to keep possession. We want to make them work. I think you saw that in the first half that we were able to do a little bit better. But, I mean, it was a tremendous effort by the guys. I mean, the Heat played a role. And we walk away from Kansas City, one of the best offenses, with a point.
All right, there is Brad Stuver. Once again, magnificent. 9 saves, a career high for him. And he was a big part, the biggest part, of why Austin FC was able to earn a point on the road at Sporting KC.
Got to be one of the best goalkeepers right now in the MLS.
He's been spectacular. He really has been. And once again, not even the highest paid goalie on his team. That makes his story even better. And the fans absolutely love him. Speaking of the fans, Buck, it's finally here. Saturday night, 8 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to going. I really am. I'm thrilled because tomorrow night actually starts the opening of the stadium. Of Q2.
Yeah, what do you think about that, man?
You and I are in the same boat on that, but we seem like a bunch of old fuddy-duddies when we say that. The women's team is the best team in the world. Not the best team in Texas. Not the best team in half of the United States. They're the best team in the world, and they're coming to play a game that has a little bit of importance because the 23 players that play, they have to get down to 18. So for some of the young ladies, this is not just a friendly.
Right.
Somebody's going to get cut here after tomorrow night as they get ready to head to Tokyo.
Yep.
And to defend their gold medal. So this is – I still wanted the FC team to be the first ones on that field.
That's it. Yeah.
That's the only thing. That's a selfish thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to see – speaking of packed house, that's going to be a packed house tomorrow night.
Yep.
There will be young women, young men, young soccer players all over Central Texas that are coming here to watch the national team, the women's national team, the best team in the world play right here tomorrow.
It's awesome that the U.S. women's national team is playing in Austin. I just wish they weren't opening up the stadium.
I do too.
I wish this was happening next week, right? Because I feel like Austin FC should be opening up their own stadium. They're going to be the team playing there 99% of the time.
They should get that opportunity. You don't have to talk. You're not going to try. You don't have to talk me into it. But we sound like a bunch of fuddy-duddies now. This is a big deal.
No, we're fans. We're fans of Austin FC. I'm fans of the U.S. women's national team, too. But, like, there's been such a buildup for this club.
Correct.
And for this stadium, man. We've been so excited. And we've waited so long. 8 road matches. The season started more than 2 months ago.
Yes, I won.
We should have the first game. Austin FC should have the first game at Q2.
Stuver should be able to be the first person on that to make a great save, not somebody for the women's team. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
He should be that That should be his deal.
Maybe we are duddy fuddies or fuddy duddies or whatever the hell word you just said right
there. Yeah, well, let me say this. I'm trying to get a ticket to the women's. Uh-oh. I can't find a ticket to that.
No, me neither. My sister was asking me about that. Like,
of course,
hey, is there any
man.
Way you can make that happen? I was like, yeah, maybe for Austin FC games I can, but U.S. Women's National Team?
Tough ticket.
That's a different beast right there.
Tough ticket.
But Saturday will be a tough ticket, too. I mean, it's been sold out for a long time, and man, this atmosphere will be tremendous. 100% capacity expected at Q2 Stadium.
And what a fabulous
weekend.
Yeah, we're talking about the PGA. Our United States Open is coming this week. Mm-hmm. University of Texas baseball is this weekend. It's Father's Day on Sunday. There's a lot going on this weekend.
NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs,
Juneteenth.
As well. Juneteenth going on too. Yeah, it's a jam-packed weekend. And I'm glad this is a night game for a number of reasons. Number one, it's going to be a little bit cooler at 8 o'clock than it would be at 2 or 3 o'clock. If you live in Austin, you know that. Number two, it allows the fans to
get a little juice.
Get a little juice in them, Buck.
Well, I know this. One of the main reasons was for me to go is and to not be in a suite, but to sit outside. I want to see what the stadium's like. I want to see, you know, we're heading into some really warm times right now. I mean, it was 100 degrees yesterday. We got a lot of high 90s coming up. I want to see what that stadium does, how it feels, what does it feel like in an evening game at 8 o'clock. Now, I know they're going to try to play as many games as they can.
Yeah.
That night would make sense. But there may be some afternoon tilts there that can be just absolutely brutal. And I want to see how the stadium feels.
Man, I so selfishly wanted Q2 to be a dome or like a retractable roof stadium or something like that. I mean, I knew there was no way that was ever going to happen. That was never talked about.
Right.
At least publicly, but that'd be really cool. Obviously for the temperature, but also for the noise. You kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Keep that inside.
Little mini dome in there.
That would be spectacular.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for the fans. And
yeah.
This thing hasn't waned. It's still, there's such a buildup. And for those that are getting into MLS, getting to this professional soccer team that's right here, it's still, the buzz is still here. The buzz has been here every weekend, mm-hmm. even though they only have two wins.
We're excited about this thing, Buck, but there are people out there who
over the top,
have been waiting for years
for
sure. this moment. Like, they're looking forward to this more than any sporting event in the last decade. Maybe ever. If you're one of those Austin lifers and you've been begging and clamoring for a pro team,
you'll
finally get your chance to rep your squad in person this weekend. San Jose, the Earthquakes. Coming it down. What do you think about that mascot, Buck? Earthquakes. You in on that?
No, not down with that. It's a little
fitting
scary.
Fitting for California, though,
yeah,
right?
California.
Like Northern California, they deal with that type of stuff.
We don't want ties. We don't want to draw here.
No,
right?
We want to win.
We need a win.
We want to win. And San Jose hasn't played in a while. Their last match actually was May 19th.
Right.
So we know how Austin FC had a bye week. Well, San Jose has had a couple of bye weeks in a row. So they will be the fresher club this weekend. San Jose currently sixth place in the Western Conference. They've got 9 points. Through eight matches. Once again, Austin FC has 8 points through eight matches. So Austin FC, 2-4-2, not the most ideal start in the world. They only have 8 points in eight matches, but the good news, Buck, they're 1 point back of a playoff spot right now, and
there
one of the
go.
Teams holding on to a playoff spot is coming to your building this Saturday.
Got to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
You really, really do. And, you know, I've been watching, Copa America? It has been spectacular to view the greatest players in the game of soccer on a stage where, I mean, the best are playing the best in round one.
Mm.
You're not even getting into round three and two and all. I mean, I watch Argentina play. I watched Messi play the other day, and I think it was Chile and Argentina. It was amazing.
There's a lot of high-level soccer being played across the world right now. You've got the Euros going on too, right? UEFA Euro 2020. Of course, we're in 2021, but you're seeing some of the best in the world duke it out on the international stage.
And I love it. And I love the comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right now, if you even dare try to compare MLS to what you're seeing all over the world, I love the comparisons. I love to now be able to go in to see what I see on TV and what I can see in person, and the expectations of hopefully that some of these type of players will come to the United States and play on some of these MLS teams, because the third and fourth and fifth guy on some of these teams are as good or better than a lot of players that play in the MLS.
Oh, it's a different level.
Yeah, and we need those players to come. We need to open up our arms to it in a city like this. And if you get two guys like I've been watching that I've never even heard of, that are coming from Europe that will come here and play and take that opportunity, and financially, they're going to get paid. It would be amazing. It would be amazing to watch that level. And I understand the MLS is nothing like that, but
right.
it gives me some boundaries to look at things and look at it the way and the perspective I should on MLS soccer.
You're starting to see that happen with old guys, right? Guys kind of in the swan songs of their sure. professional careers, the Zlatans of the world who will spend the majority of their professional careers overseas, and then they'll kind of end in Major League Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be losing a step over there, but they'll still dominate here in MLS. Like, I love that bit.
But you see those guys fly. They're like on roller skates.
Different level, man.
With the ball on their tippy toe, and they just go, and they're always on the attack. It's consistent.
Yep.
It doesn't stop. They don't play defensive games. They don't back up. They're always going forward with the ball on the pitch. It's crazy
for Major League Soccer to be the best soccer league in the world. I mean, we're nowhere close to that happening.
No,
you think of the other big sports, right? The NFL is the best football league. It's
absolutely
here in the States. The NHL, the best hockey league here in the States. The NBA, best basketball league here in the States. It'd be awesome, selfishly speaking, of course, for Major League Soccer to be the best league.
But once again,
in the world,
some of our best athletes in the world are track and field people.
Right.
They're basketball people. They're football people. They play different sports. We just play different sports.
Mm-hmm.
We're really far behind. And I don't know. I watched the United States and Mexico play last week.
Yep.
I thought the Americans did a really good job of the way they handled themselves. Well, not the fans, but in Denver. But I like the way, if you watch U.S. men's soccer right now, I'm not going to say it's leaps and bounds from what I saw a couple years ago, but it's leaps and bounds from what I saw a couple years ago. They couldn't even compete. Now they can hang in there. And when you can beat a team like Mexico, you're starting to move your way into it. But I will never try to compare over the next couple of years what I see in the MLS, but I know where I stand when I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps me by watching a lot of European soccer now, which I don't sit there every Saturday morning and watch all this stuff. But when I watch it, I'm seeing the great athletes, and I can compare and help me in the knowledge of knowing what the MLS is about, truly.
Absolutely.
But I know this, Brad Stuver can play at a lot of places.
It feels that way, man.
You know?
And look, MLS has gotten better, right? We've had your son on, AJ, a couple mm-hmm. of times, and he played in the MLS, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
And he'll be the first to admit how much higher quality of a game that we have here in Major League Soccer.
For
so
sure.
We're getting there, but yeah, still a long way to go. If you go to Q2 Stadium this weekend, Buck, are you going to be throwing beers or throwing anything onto the pitch?
No.
Is that your style as a fan?
No, and that's not my style. I may face paint a little bit.
There you go.
I may do some things to my face.
Beat the chest. And
beat my chest, do that. Maybe take a shirt off.
You're going to wear a scarf? That's going to be so hot.
No.
I've got a badass Austin FC scarf that I want to rock, and that's a big bit for soccer is to
I'm
rock
thinking
the
of
scarf.
Head, but I'm thinking of ball head, headband.
Oh,
you're
going to go
I mean?
Headband?
Headband with the ball head.
Oh, my God.
And a little face paint, maybe.
Dude, that would be awesome.
And I definitely, they will let me bring my tambourine in, right?
Would think. I don't know the rules and regulations about
noisemakers.
I'm going
with tambourine.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Yes.
Especially for the opening match.
For sure.
The first home match ever. You've got to let anything in.
This
Posters.
Is not the Frank Irwin Center. Nobody's going to say sit down.
What about vuvuzelas? Are you one of those
guys? I'm
not
down with that thing.
Okay, you're
That's a little
those.
Too noisy for me.
Yeah, it's going to be a spectacular scene this weekend at Q2. And how
about Euro this? Euro 2020.
The good news is, you know, Austin FC is through the most difficult part of its schedule, Buck. Like 2-4-2. Once again, not the best record in the world, but this team is a point out of a playoff spot. And they're through the toughest part of their season.
Right.
4 of the next 5, 7 of the next 9 are at Q2 Stadium. I mean, this team left the state 8 times in 9 weeks. Now they're only going to travel outside of Texas 5 more times.
Right.
All regular season long.
I think the Galaxy has to come back here. They're talking about a team that's floundering.
Mm-hmm.
They started out on fire, and they're just like fish out of water
Once
right
again,
now.
Austin FC has already played at Seattle, the best team in the league.
Correct.
They've played at Sporting KC twice. Right now, KC is the second best team in the league. They played at LA Galaxy, which, despite recent struggles, they're third in the Western Conference. Colorado, Austin's already played there. They're fourth in the Western Conference. So you've already played those four teams on the road at least once.
How far can your crowd carry you?
Now you're about to get them at your place throughout the remainder of the season.
This fan base will be absolutely nuts to have this team, and especially if they can get with a nice victory on Saturday. Now you're talking about bringing the fans in droves. They may have not made the stadium big enough if they can get a win, and this group can find their way into a playoff in year one. And I know a lot of teams make it, and it's, I don't know, it's like hockey. Everybody gets to play in the playoffs. But I'll say this. If this group in the first year, after being on the road for 8 games, gets into the playoffs, it'll be a miraculous start for an expansion team.
No doubt. No
you know,
doubt. That was
really
kind of the goal
fun.
Going in, right?
I think so, yeah.
We just wanted this team to find its way to the postseason. Then after the great start that they had, right, a couple of matches in, you're thinking, oh,
Right.
Maybe they're going to do more than just make it to the postseason, right? Maybe they can make some noise when they get there. Now it's like, all right, just find a way into the postseason. Anything can happen when you get there.
I know, but you've seen the players now. You understand what you're watching when you watch this team.
Watching this team compared to other teams across MLS, some of the top dogs, it feels like there's a little bit of a talent gap, but hey, maybe that's just playing on the road, right? Maybe it's just guys being tired.
Brother, eight games on the road.
Maybe Q2 Stadium becomes the next, I don't know, Seattle. It's not CenturyLink anymore. What is it? Lumen Field is the name. That's where the Seahawks play, so that place is always jam-packed. Or where Atlanta plays, right? Atlanta plays at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Right.
Those are two of the toughest places to win in all of Major League Soccer. That'd be awesome if Q2, even though it's a much smaller capacity crowd, can be one of those places where every team across the league fears playing at.
From what I hear, and I heard numerous people tell me this, that stadium, whether it's a $500 seat or a $100 seat, you can see it all from everywhere in the stadium. There's not a place, there's no corners that you have to look over somebody or you're wondering what number that is. They say you can see them all everywhere in that stadium. There's not a bad seat in the house. And it will be packed and it will be loud. And I've got to believe this team is going to be a different type of team. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to be a different type of team every time they play in it, but I think Josh Wolf is going to – I got to believe you talk to your coaching staff and say, we may have to leave some gaps open defensively – but we have to take some chances to our home crowd. Win or whatever, we have to take chances.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want our home crowd walking away here, us not scoring a goal. We have to take chances. Let's go on the attack. If we give it up, we got a great goalkeeper back here right now. He can make a bunch of saves. But we have to score some goals at home.
Absolutely.
We got to let the fans win. They'll come back. They'll want to come back.
Yep. That's what this crowd will be looking for. Of course,
Absolutely.
You want points, right? You want a positive result. You would love a win in your home opener. But, yeah, if you can get a crooked number worth of goals
on
the scoreboard at Q2, that would be awesome. Man, I'm looking at the stats from last weekend's match against Sporting KC. They had 32 shots, they being Sporting KC. Austin had 9. You had more than 40 shots. Not all of them on target, of course, but more than 40 shots in the game. If we could have something crazy like that, hopefully Austin is the team with 32 shots. That would be spectacular. I mean, Saturday night's going to be a hell of a lot of fun regardless, but if you have one of those games like we saw last weekend at Children's Mercy,
fans,
it's going to be nuts, dude.
Absolutely, man.
This is going to be nuts. All right, anything else we need to hit?
No, man. I'm still like bursting at the seams, and tomorrow's Wednesday, as I said. The ladies are in town. I'm excited about that. I'm still trying to grab a ticket for that. But Saturday, I maybe have a couple ducats for that one, and I'm excited to go and sit outside and be a part of that fan base. And I just want to walk around the tailgate. I want to see the layout of the land all around that stadium and what the buzz is like up north in North Austin, which is like a foreign country to me because I'm a Southie.
You're
you know
not
what I'm
a
saying?
Domain guy.
I'm a Southie. So, you know
have you
mean?
Ever been to the Domain, Buck?
I have.
Okay.
I've been up in that part of the woods, but
I gotcha.
It's different. It's like a different world for us Southies down here to go up north. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome. Before we get out of here, we'll let you hear from Josh Wolf. Here's Coach talking about Saturday's upcoming match versus San Jose.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a noticeably more relaxed and good energy coming in today. Obviously, it was a good result and a nice day off. And now you have a nice normal lead up to our first home game. And it's been talked about a lot. And I think these guys have seen a lot written about it. And obviously, are very much looking forward to this experience. Obviously, it's a big moment for the club again. It's Q2 Stadium and it's going to be a very impressive venue. And we have a difficult opponent, but I think the guys will really respond well. For us, it'll be our first time, a normal lead up. And as you said, staying in our own environment, our own house, our own bed prior to a game, and obviously waking up and being able to just head over to the stadium. So I think it's something we haven't experienced yet. So it'll be a nice new opportunity for everybody.
All right. There he is, Buck. We got to find our way to this game, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We got to make it happen. We got to make it happen.
Well, this is a tough weekend because you know Father's Day is important to you. My father's no longer here, but you still got your dad. So you may have to take a trip, and you got to go down there and celebrate Juneteenth down in Galveston.
I do.
Where it all started.
Do I have to choose between Juneteenth and the Austin FC home opener? Oh, boy, I don't want to get canceled.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
You got a tough one there.
Well, it's Juneteenth for you on Saturday, too.
Absolutely.
So what, are you allowed to go to the game?
I'm not going down to Galveston, no.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I'll celebrate right here in Austin, Texas.
Well done there, sir. All right, that's going to do it for episode number 7 of Soccer. Duh, the Horns' unofficial yet so official soccer podcast with Bucky Godbolt and Brad Kellner. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate the continued support. And a special thank you to our sponsors, Altstadt Brewery, 34 Wine and Spirits, Green Mountain Flower Company, and Brown Eye Clothing. This podcast would not be possible without them. We'll be back next week for another episode. We'll be recapping Austin FC's home opener against San Jose. Hopefully the first home win in club history for the Oaks. Right now, Austin FC just 1 point out of a playoff spot. If they can pick up 3 points this weekend, there's a damn good chance next time we're recording that Austin FC will be in the top seven in the Western Conference. Can't wait for Saturday. Can't wait for next week's show, too. Until then, y'all stay safe. Y'all stay healthy. Keep it Verde. This has been Soccer. Duh.